I love our Braves fans. People are hot. If we won game one like we should have won, nobody be talking about Sale.
Hey, man. You know, and we're going to ask Grant about this. I just said on Twitter, in a year that is unprecedented in Braves history, the being marred by so many injuries to so many starters and all the things that Snicker had to deal with, it's almost apropos they're going to have to overcome not having Chris Sale, who was their ace in the hole for basically the last week that we were expecting him to go.
We're going to talk to Grant McCauley. We're a little bit in a tizzy because if you're just joining us, we got word from Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, literally moments ago that Chris Sale, right after the game was over, Chris Sale is not going to start this game. That was what we all believed because it made sense. I need a win. I need one win to get into the postseason. I'm going to start my best guy. Back spasms, which started yesterday, and they tried to get him to go, and it just didn't work, and the team made a decision. Let's talk to Grant McCauley. Grant, we want to start with this news from Alex Anthopoulos. First of all, how do you come to the decision that it's going to be Grant Holmes versus someone else? Is that the only option? What does that mean as far as what the selection process was to who might start this game?
I think this was just a process of elimination kind of thing. But had the Braves known, obviously, that they would need Grant Holmes to start this game, then clearly he wouldn't have thrown a day ago. That's part of the calculus that they're going through very quickly between games. This is the first time I've seen a general manager, or I guess team president and general manager, come down and do a post-game availability for a manager. And it was because of the nature of the discussion that had to be, it had to go on with Chris Sale being scratched, with the Grant Holmes decision, with the ramifications for Sale, not only in this game, but if the Braves are able to advance, which again is still a big if, how exactly are they going to approach the wild card if Chris Sale's not available there? So a lot of moving parts here. Mm. I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions. I'm sure Braves fans have a lot of questions. I'm sure their heads are spinning. Given what we saw in game one, that roller coaster ride of the 2024 Braves, It looks like it's got one more stop, and we're going to see what it is this afternoon.
For the benefit of folks who don't have social media right now because they're driving, they can't check it out, Grant. So Chris Sale had back spasms in a session after the game yesterday, because a lot of folks under the debate was, okay, you had a chance to close out the Royals and make this series a moot point against the Mets. So the timeline for Chris Sale's back spasms.
Right. So the back spasms, initially he felt them in the start against Cincinnati on the 19th in the second inning. He proceeded to pitch the three more innings after that. We noted the velocity was a little bit down, but he was able to find a way through that. The question then became, I'm guessing, what level of treatment and how quickly could he move through those? Because back spasms don't necessarily have to be a put him on the IL kind of move, and clearly the Braves weren't going to make any kind of decision that would disqualify him for more days than absolutely necessary. So that was part of, I guess, this whole process of just kind of waiting and seeing. And he felt like, and this is where I guess where everything just becomes a big gray area, because Chris Sale clearly has pitched through things in his career and feels like to some extent he can go. But then as he got into it yesterday and they really flared up, throwing Chris Sale out there for an inning or two and discovering that he can't really go and that he doesn't really have it, that does him a disservice as well. So I think that out of an abundance of just all of those things coming together and trying to be cautious with Chris Sale as well, they had to make this decision here. And I think that real hopes, if we really want to get into the weeds here, were that the Braves would win game one and they wouldn't have to talk about this for at least 24 more hours. But that, unfortunately, is not the case. So in other words, he's been dealing with this for a while, having his start pushed back from Wednesday to at some point over the final weekend of this doubleheader was the best-case scenario to get him feeling better, but he just was not able to clear that hurdle.
Scenario one, Braves win, we're in. Mets are in, obviously, winning game one. D-backs eliminated, right? That's what we're looking at here.
Correct.
By winning game two, okay, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Mets win, we are out, D-backs are in, correct?
Correct, correct.
All right. It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, live at Truist Park, where, again, one of the just heartbreaking losses to have that 3-0 lead. Now, this is the great debate, and I'll defend Snicker on this one. Schwellenbach had only given up 3 hits, Grant, before he comes out for the top of the 8th. The bullpen has been the second best in baseball after the 8th inning, but a lot of folks will be second-guessing Snicker that you go with Jimenez? Because once Jimenez inherited the run, he couldn't handle his business.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. And I mean, and look, Joe Jimenez and Raisel Iglesias, two guys that gave up some runs in this game, have been two huge reasons why the Braves and their pitching staff has been as successful as it has been. I don't think you could blame Brian Snicker or any other manager for asking them to try and get the final 6 outs after that leadoff double. The real turning point, if we want to kind of get inside that 8th inning for Spencer Schwellenbach, who, again, I will say, I think you take him out there and you go hitter to hitter with him and see if he's able to give you a little bit of something before you have to go to Jimenez, who was warmed up and ready to go. And then obviously, unless you decide to go with Iglesias as well. So that, I think, is part of what they were trying to figure out, was how they wanted to get the final outs and reserve as many arms as possible was part of that. But no, it comes down to the player executing more so than the manager's decision there. Who else are you going to call on in those two spots? Number one, with Jimenez as your setup guy, and number two, with Iglesias as your closer, who was pulled early in the event that they need to use him here in game two to secure a lead and potentially a spot in the playoffs.
We had a big moment with Ozzie, Francisco Lindor. Yeah. Let's talk about him because, you know, again, in that moment, you know, it's like, okay, you just can't give up a home run, and obviously we did. We're up 7-6 right there in the top of the ninth. Talk about the moment that Lindor hits that home run, and more importantly, you know, pitching against him. He's had a bad back, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been dealing with his own stuff as well. And, you know, this is, you know, big players at big times for teams are going to come through. And if you look at what the Mets have done since really June the 1st, Francisco Lindor has put up MVP-type production for them. He had a terrible start to the season, but he turned himself back into one of the elite players in the National League. And he'd been showing that. It was unfortunate the timing of him getting injured down the stretch. You thought that could hurt the Mets. You kind of wondered what he was going to be like when he came back. And he took a big step towards answering that with a huge hit and a huge home run off Pierce Johnson in the ninth inning.
Our man Grant McCauley, guys, as the Braves lose the first game of this two-game set, 8-7 to the Mets, as Grant laid out, if you win this game, you're going to San Diego. It's that simple. You lose, the season is over. Ozzie has been so good since coming back from the right side. I guess we'll have to lean on our stars. Can Ozzie give us more magic now in this nightcap?
And here's kind of the thing, Mike, and I'll own it as well. Yesterday when Ozzie went 0 for 5, and you look at those numbers, and he was just 4 for 31 since that comeback, I was wondering and said as much on social media about whether or not, you know, getting him back to net positive were my words.
Right.
Batting him second, I don't know if that's the place to use him. Mm. But, you know, I have had no problem quote-tweeting that and saying, look at this dummy, because he had two big hits in this game. He had the home run. He had the bases-clearing double. And again, like I said with Lindor, you know, big players at big times for good teams, they're the ones that you want up there. And Ozzie has been one of those for the Braves throughout all of the success that they've had, and he rose to the occasion. And the Braves are going to need Ozzie Albies and eight other guys to try to rise to the occasion in that lineup today, because I think this is one of those in game two where you better score all the runs you possibly can, because it doesn't feel like we're set up for that pitcher's duel that it might have originally been. Mm.